Each sweep of his arm would cover hundreds of books. Here I have the responses, here the mystics, here the Kabbalah, and here the Hasidic works. Then, with a twinkle in his eye, he would indicate a narrow shelf near the door, the smallest group in the room. This is the modern literature. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 220. Agnon in Stockholm, Agnon in Jerusalem. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. In October of 1966, a writer in Jerusalem by the name of Shmuel Yosef Agnon, or Shai Agnon, learned from Israel's education minister that he had been awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, the first Israeli to win the prize in any field. Agnon's initial response indicated that he was not a regular member of the literati, and that he was a man with a deep devotion to his faith. The New York Times reported that, quote, a witness said the writer had expressed disbelief. A man of deep religious piety, he was reported to have said, if it were true, I would have sensed something during my morning devotions, end quote. Several years later, after Agnon's passing, the obituary for the great writer in the Times noted that Agnon had first taken up residence in Talpiot, a neighborhood in Jerusalem, in 1929. And then the paper reflects that, quote, nearly four decades later, a recipient of the Nobel Prize, he was living in the same house, but the neighborhood had changed and Jerusalem was surrounding him. So it was with his writing. Like his way of life, it had remained unchanged, but the audience, like the neighborhood, had changed around him, end quote. Agnon's fame had changed and expanded as Jerusalem changed and expanded. Jerusalem always remained at the core of who Agnon was. And as Agnon came to Stockholm to receive the Nobel Prize, he would give one of the modern age's great speeches about Judaism and Jerusalem. The first part of Agnon's Nobel Prize address in Stockholm was declaimed in Hebrew. That section's final paragraph read in translation as follows, quote, as a result of the historic catastrophe in which Titus of Rome destroyed Jerusalem and Israel was exiled from its land, I was born in one of the cities of the exile, but always I regarded myself as one who was born in Jerusalem. In a dream, in a vision of the night, I saw myself standing with my brother Levites in the Holy Temple, singing with them the songs of David, king of Israel, melodies such as no ear has heard since the day our city was destroyed and its people went into exile. I suspect that the angels in charge of the shrine of music, fearful lest I sing in wakefulness what I had sung in dream, made me forget by day what I had sung at night. For if my brethren, the sons of my people, were to hear, they would be unable to bear their grief over the happiness they have lost. To console me for having prevented me from singing with my mouth, they enable me to compose songs in writing. End quote. We must pause to unpack what Agnon is doing here. First, he is telling the world what Jerusalem means to him, to the Jewish people, and how the roots of the Jewish people in Jerusalem extend millennia back. Recall, ladies and gentlemen, that at this point, Jordan is occupying Jerusalem's old city, and Agnon, a lover of Jerusalem, has no access to the most sacred parts of Jerusalem. Agnon speaks here of the Jewish connection to the most sacred site in the world, to the Temple Mount. His dreams, he says, are of the Temple in Jerusalem, and especially because he is a Levite whose ancestors sang in that sacred space. His writings, he says, are a consolation for him as he ponders the destruction of Jerusalem and all that it once was. In this respect, Agnon is linking himself to another famous Levite, Rabbi Judah Halevi, who was himself one of Jewish history's great lovers of Jerusalem. In his elegy for Jerusalem, Tzion Haloti Shali, Zion will you not ask after your captives? Judah Halevi reflected that when he thinks of Jerusalem's destruction, he howls in weeping like a jackal. But, he writes, when he ponders its glorious past, Ani kinor l'chol shirayach, I am a harp for all your songs. This line would, around the same time that Agnon was awarded the Nobel Prize, become part of a famous modern song about Jerusalem, Jerusalem of Gold, which we will discuss next week. But Halevi's poem is also bound to the spirit of Agnon's speech. Agnon, in his presentation in Stockholm, then turned to discussing the Jews whose presence he felt, Jews no longer alive. He said, quote, I belong to the tribe of Levi. My forebears and I are of the minstrels that were in the temple, and there is a tradition in my father's family that we are of the lineage of the prophet Samuel, whose name I bear. I was 5 years old when I wrote my first song. It was out of longing for my father that I wrote it. It happened that my father of blessed memory went away on business. I was overcome with longing for him, and I made a song. After that, I made many songs, but nothing has remained of them all. My father's house, where I left a room full of writings, was burned down in the First World War, and all I had left there was burned with it. The young artisans, tailors, and shoemakers who used to sing my songs at their work were killed in the First World War, and of those who were not killed in the war, some were buried alive with their sisters in the pits they dug for themselves by order of the enemy, and most were burned in the crematories of Auschwitz with their sisters, who had adorned our town with their beauty and sung my songs with their sweet voices." End quote. Here Agnon remembers the millions of murdered Jews and joins his own soul to theirs. Spiritually, as he said, he was born in Jerusalem, but he also understands that he owes so much about who he is to the Jews among whom he grew up, to Jews that live no longer. After describing his original journey to the land of Israel and then his return to the Holy Land and to Jerusalem, after leaving the land for a period, Agnon said, quote, "I returned to Jerusalem, and it is by virtue of Jerusalem that I have written all that God has put into my heart and into my pen," end quote. Here Agnon again gives the credit for all that he had written to Jerusalem, to his dreams of Jerusalem. And then Agnon emphasized that his writings were profoundly inspired by Judaic texts, the Bible, and all the rabbinic writings that followed. In a passage a bit later in the speech, Agnon said, quote, "Who are my mentors in poetry and literature? That is a matter of opinion. Some see in my books the influences of authors whose names, in my ignorance, I have not even heard, while others see the influences of poets whose names I have heard, but whose writings I have not read. And what is my opinion? From whom did I receive nurture? Not every man remembers the name of the cow which supplied him with each drop of milk he has drunk. But in order not to leave you totally in the dark, I will try to clarify from whom I received whatever I have received. First and foremost, there are the sacred scriptures, from which I learned how to combine letters. Then there are the Mishnah and the Talmud and the Midrashim and Rashi's commentary on the Torah. After these come the Poskim, the later explicators of Talmudic law, and our sacred poets and the medieval sages, led by our master Rabbi Moses, son of Maimon, known as Maimonides of blessed memory." End quote. What Agnon is doing here is drawing a connection between his love of Jerusalem and his love of the Judaism that kept alive the dream of Jerusalem. Only after speaking of Judaic texts did Agnon note the impact of other literary works, but he did so in a striking way, saying, quote, "When I first began to combine letters other than Hebrew, I read every book in German that came my way, and from these I certainly received according to the nature of my soul. As time is short, I shall not compile a bibliography or mention any names. Why then did I list the Jewish books? Because it is they that gave me my foundations, and my heart tells me that they are responsible for my being honored with the Nobel Prize." End quote. In a fascinating passage in Agnon's obituary in the Times, the writer is described giving a tour of his home's library, where he expressed sentiments similar to those declared in his Nobel Prize address. The Times tells us, quote, "The shelves upstairs were filled from floor to ceiling with many of the books hundreds of years old. These are the prayer books, and they face the wall. Here I have the Bible, and here the Talmud. Here I have philosophy, Jewish philosophy," end quote. In other words, joining Judaic texts and Jerusalem, the volumes of Jewish liturgy faced the Western Wall, for which Agnon longed for many years. The article continues by describing the other Judaic texts of which Agnon spoke. Quote, "Each sweep of his arm would cover hundreds of books. Here I have the responses, here the mystics, here the Kabbalah, and here the Hasidic works." Then, with a twinkle in his eye, he would indicate a narrow shelf near the door, the smallest group in the room. "This is the modern literature," end quote. Agnon, of course, was not dismissing the importance of literature, but he was emphasizing the incredible wisdom of Jewish tradition and the impact that wisdom had on him. Today, as I have written in commentary, there are writers in Israel, as well as artists in other aspects of creative endeavor, that follow in Agnon's footsteps in drawing on Judaic texts in their storytelling. One of the most interesting cultural phenomena in Israel is that of Orthodox Jews engaging in artistic endeavors that are fueled by rabbinic texts and the experience of Judaic observance. A half century after Agnon's Nobel address, Rabbi Chaim Sabato published Adjusting Sights, a novel drawing on his own experiences in the Yom Kippur War. The book received much acclaim in Israel, and Sabato's resume is unusual for a novelist. He is one of the leaders of a yeshiva in Maale Adumim, and his own intimacy with rabbinic texts pervades the pages of his story. Agnon lived to see the return of ancient Jerusalem to the Jewish people, and he was able to arrange for his burial to take place on the Mount of Olives, to which the Jewish people returned as well. Thus, his burial site overlooks the Temple Mount of his dreams, a sign of what Jerusalem meant to him and how his words continue to bring the spirit of Jerusalem to all of us. This is Meir Soloveitchik. Looking forward to learning together next week. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Signing off.